Find this podcast and others like it at the number one new media network, Podshow.com. Better, faster, stronger. And now with new minty fresh scent.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Peter Maverick.
I'm Amy Matheny. This Queer Cast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Always worth it. American Airlines, offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow.
Listening to the Windy City Queercast. This is show number 95. I'm Peter Maverick.
I'm Amy Matheny. Hello, Peter.
Hello. We're just five shows away from 100.
I know.
I'm so excited.
Five big fat shows.
So I've got a question for you. Can we play a little game? This is just a little game.
Okay.
So I'm going to say the ology.
I love this.
I'm going to say the... I got surprises for you today. I'm just coming at you from left field. Okay. I'm going to say the ology and you have to tell me what it is.
The ology.
Yeah. So, you know, like psychology.
Okay.
Gynecology.
The study of my vajayjay.
Vajayjay. So,
I call it gyne, actually.
The gyne.
And the people in my rehearsals are all straight guys. And they're all like, stop talking about the gyne.
I got to go to the gynecologist.
Yeah. Gynecologist.
Myrmecology.
Myrmecology.
And it's not the study of Ethel Merman.
No, myrmecology. Can I have that in a sentence?
Peter majored in myrmecology at university. That was all British. At university. Myrmecology. From the Greek, myrmeki, which means ant. It's the study of ants.
I was going to say the sea, la mer.
Like mer. This one might be easy. Mycology.
Mycology?
Mm-hmm.
The study of oneself?
The study of fungus from micris, which means fungus in Greek.
See, I didn't take any Latin, so we're fucked here.
That's okay. Nosology.
Well, it's not the study of the nose.
No.
Nosology is the study of knowledge.
Of disease classifications from the Greek nosos. And disease. Notice there's every word I can bring back to the Greek. So this is the last one that I'm going to throw at you because I got a bunch. Rhinology is the study of the nose.
Yes. I know that because of rhinoplasty.
Right, exactly.
There Don't go, ask me go. How I know that.
There you go. Do you know phlebology?
Phlebology?
Yeah, phlebology. P-H. Can I have the spelling, please?
Can I have the spelling, please?
The spelling,
please? I feel
Where
like
is
Logan Schwartz is gripping here. She's coming back. She's coming back.
She is. P-H-L-E-B-O-L-O-G-Y. Phlebology.
P-H-L-E-B-A-Y.
No, phlebology. P-H-L-E-B-O-L-O-G-Y. So when the vampire comes to...
Suck your blood. The study of blood.
The study of the venous system.
The venous
but
system.
But very, very close, very close. And this is my favorite one. And
That's
this is
very gay, the big vein.
The big vein. And this is why I brought this one up. This is my favorite new one. Vexillology.
Vexil?
Vexil. V-E-X-I-L-L-O-L-O-G-Y. Vexillology.
I have no idea.
I didn't either when I heard it today, and this is why I brought it up. Vexillology is the study of flags.
Flags.
And there's actually this little...
Vexil. Why vexil?
Well, because the Latin word for vexillum is the military sign. So, you know, in Rome, when they always carried Caesar's staff, that was his vexillum.
Ah. I'm so sad about Rome.
Vexillium.
Wait, can we have a moment of silence?
Okay.
Okay.
Pod snap.
Woo.
Love the
so
room.
So the reason I brought
the big
that
boys
up,
with their veins, you can study their veins.
Oh my God, you can see the veins in their penis and their big.
I know. Can I have me to tell my girlfriend right now? But when Pullo, like. Well, I shouldn't tell tales because you haven't seen
it. Season two. Act two.
Sorry. Season two. I can't say
that's
it. Never
okay.
mind. But there was a moment where Pullo was.
Pee-pee?
Oh, yeah. And Kelly was like, I got to watch. We're like slow-moing it back. I'm like,
oh,
you're
my
so
God.
Crazy.
I just want him on my face.
So, Pullo or Varinas?
Both of them. Oh, I think they're okay. Both hunky, gorgeous, and hot. And
the Antony. That's who you probably like.
No, actually, the little boy.
Do
with
you
the
like
blonde
the
curly hair. Yeah, he's.
But he grows up in season two. You'll like him too.
Reminds
he's very
me
weird.
Of an ex that I once
he's very had. Odd actor. I love him though.
The flame the white bush. So
the white bush.
You know, we got this little he really does have a white bush. We got this little
I'm
question
sure.
on Chicagoist.
Albino bush.
Right, totally. There's this interesting thing that came up. So you know what the Chicago flag looks like? It's got four
yes.
red stars, and then it's got the white stripe and the blue stripe and the white stripe. So each of these things actually means something. The stars mean the Fort Dearborn Massacre, the Great Chicago Fire, the Columbian Exposition, and the 1933 Century of Progress. So the other World's Fair that was here.
Okay.
There were two in Chicago. And then each of the six sides of the stars means something. But there's been some talk that people want to add another star if we get the Olympics.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's just an interesting little Chicago-flavored story that some people are thinking, should
we... Do you think we're going to get these Olympics?
I hope so. I know you don't, but...
I don't know.
I hope so. Another interesting phenomena that also came to my attention was Chicago has the second most popular flag in the entire world.
Wow, really?
Yeah, the first one.
Well, then don't fuck with it. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Well, no, I'm sorry. Not in the entire world. In the entire United States.
All right.
To take that back. Second most popular flag. Number one is DC's. And DC's looks a hell of a lot like ours, except for it's just red stars and white stripes and red stars.
I don't even know what DC's
but,
look like.
It's okay looking. Ours looks better, I think. But we actually have the second most popular in the U.S. Like by serious ranking, by like serious numbers, there's a big gulf between two and three.
How funny is that?
So it was an interesting little thing that came up.
That is
that
interesting.
I was going
like
along.
That. We're about learning here on the Queercast.
We are about learning.
Sometimes it's not queer things we're learning. We're learning about flags, not fags,
we
but
are.
Flags.
Like the Chicago flag, because I think the Chicago flag is beautiful and I like
do
it.
I do too. I don't think they should mess with it. I think they should leave it.
I think if we get the Olympics, though, that's pretty fucking stellar. I don't know, though.
I don't know. I mean, I would love to pop out of my door and be able to go to an event and have the athletes all here and all that, but God, the
I would like to pop out of my door and have
honey,
the athletes
I know
all
how
here.
You worked the gay games. I can only imagine when the field is wider, I'm going to have to be your door girl.
See,
like,
this is
there's going to be a revolving door, and I'm going to have to, like, you're going to be my Olympic sport, is just, like, securing your...
This is my
your
prayer.
Your ass and
this is my prayer at night. Lord, bring me someone to love, except if the Olympics come to Chicago.
Yeah, exactly.
Then bring me a lot of people to love over and over and over.
Lots of people to love.
So Toronto is also getting another. You know, we had the we have the gay radio station going here in San Fran. Is that where
I
the
think
big
so.
One was? Toronto's actually getting a big one. They're gonna call it Proud FM. They don't have a website that I could find yet, but they're saying they have close to 500,000 listeners locally per week, which is awesome. So they will be starting on April 16th. It's 103.9 FM local Toronto, which we probably won't get here in Chicago. I don't think the signal will reach that far, but I will be looking for them online because Toronto radio, I remember it being really kick ass when I was up there listening to the radio station. So I'm excited about that. That should be a cool little newsy thing.
Well, and speaking of Canada, for people, just a little teaser coming up next week, we're going to have Lucas Savara of the Clicks.
Hot
on with
little
us.
Bands. They are just fucking
they
tearing
really
me up.
Really hot. I really love them. We've got the new CD, so we have something you all don't have, but it's coming out. But we'll have Lucas on the show next week, and the Clicks are way on tour. And
they're going to be on the True Colors tour.
They're
going to
be
Cindy
in
Lauper.
Chicago and some other cities. They'll definitely be in our city. Peter will be seeing True Colors in New York, so you won't see them, but maybe you can catch them here. But yeah, they're really awesome. And they're coming to the UK for our British listeners of the Queercast, and they're all
right
around
the corner.
So they'll be on next week. It's really a great interview. He's fantastic.
Yeah, and their CD comes out on the 24th. It's called Snake House, and it actually is just this really great
You've probably
rock.
Seen them on Logo if you've seen
them. Yeah, and they cover Cry Me a River, which, again, again, when I was telling Lucas, when I first heard the show, I first heard the song Cry Me a River, I was like, this begs for like a rock cover, something sultry. And they did it. And it made me so happy. Speaking of coming out, with this whole General Peter Pace thing that just happened.
Yeah.
Seven retired military officers. I think the one with the shortest tenure has 20 years. Most of them are over 30 years in service. They're very highly decorated. They've numerous awards during their entire career. Seven retired military officers. They came out in
That's
response
so
to what Peter Pace said.
Amazing.
So amazing.
Wow.
Colonels, captains,
so what will
males
happen to
and
them?
Females. Actually, nothing. Nothing really happens to them.
Because they're retired.
Because they're retired. Four served in the Vietnam War. They don't, you know, there's no repercussions for them doing this, but it was just so amazing that,
so they can't be discharged because they're not
active. They're not in active service. But it was just so interesting that they came out in support. You can find some more information about their biographies on the Service Members Legal Defense Network. It's sldn.org. It's an incredible organization who really profiles these wonderful people. And it's just, you know, don't ask, don't tell, but honey, we're there.
Oh, God.
We're there.
We're a part of it.
We're a part of it.
Yeah, I have to say, you know, that it was one of my favorite storylines this year on the L Word was really the attention to, you know, a lesbian in the military. And plus, she was hot.
Ooh, was it hot?
Tasha. The character's name is Tasha. She was a very pretty girl.
What was the movie with Glenn Close in the line of
Serving in Silence? The Margareta Kammermeyer.
Those of you out there who maybe are a little young and haven't seen that, or even those of you who are out there who are old and haven't seen it, that's
great.
Something you really, really should watch, because that story is still so poignant and so strong right now.
I interviewed her. It was one of the biggest interviews at the time.
Glenn Close or Kammermeyer?
Kammermeyer.
Oh, wow.
And when I interviewed Kammermeyer, it was huge. It was one of the, it had to have been in the first 9 months of me being not the What's Happening girl, but the first time that I was on microphone as a host.
When Amy was becoming Amy.
And I remember that interview and interviewing the first trans prime minister of New Zealand, which was pretty amazing. Those two interviews in particular.
What was her name?
I cannot remember. Cannot remember, but those were great interviews.
You played that one aired a couple times, didn't
it? I'm sure. I don't know.
I remember hearing that, but not at the same time. It was like previously aired. I remember hearing
really
it.
Really amazing. Really amazing.
Well, we are truly everywhere. Again, I was just
cruising. We got an email from Australia.
We did. It was so delightful. Thank you so much for listening, love.
Yes, we love that. And you know what else I'm really loving right now is I'm really into The Riches, and I don't know if you're still watching it. You were at my house. We were recording, and you were like, are you taping The Riches? It's starting tonight. And I've really gotten into it. And
I don't like Minnie Driver.
Oh, see, I love Minnie Driver. I really like her. But anyhow,
I think the kids are freaking
The kids are great. Stellar. And this little story of their youngest child, Sam, who I thought there was some really nice writing. For people who don't know, they're Irish travelers, which are basically like gypsies who take on.
No, they're not Irish like that Irish.
No, like hillbilly like Irish, like
Appalachian
Irish travelers. But they take over these people's identities who live in.
Who they've killed accidentally.
Well, they didn't kill them. It was the other people. But anyhow, they've taken over the identities of these very wealthy people. They're in this gated community. And so now they're trying to get the kids in school. And Minnie Driver, as her mother says to Sam, you know, look, you just need to make a decision because you're starting school. You need to make a decision, just not for me. And I thought this was so beautiful because the little boy, I mean, born male, likes to wear dresses and pink slippers. Yeah. And
actually, the first time you see him in the series, you don't realize he's a boy. Actually as a girl.
And the actor is really fantastic.
He is.
This kid.
Just
and,
incredible.
But I just thought this was such a nice moment. Like, once again, like, who all's going to see that? Like, that's so beautiful that in today's television, we're seeing a mom say to her child, like, you know, it doesn't matter to me.
Right.
You just need to decide, also because they don't want it to be suspicious.
Right.
But you know, you need to decide how you're going to show up in school and which you want to be. And you just need to make that decision and we'll support you because you can be whatever you want to be. And I just thought,
it's a good
it was, you know, it's a definitely a gritty show. It's not this fluffy.
It's going a little slow for me. I want it to go a little faster.
I'm digging it. I don't know
why
I'm liking it, but I like her a lot.
Did you see the Dirt finale?
Yes, I'm over.
Oh, see, you don't. You just don't like the dirt.
I just don't like the dirt.
Did Kelly's jaw hit the floor like mine hit the floor?
I don't know. She said, I'm so over this show, so I don't
really
think so. And the fact that they had Jennifer Aniston on and there was no good tongue, no good kiss, no good. I mean, Courtney Cox and Jennifer Aniston, she's
you
just
fucking
done it
lesbians.
For, well, but come on. They promoted that more than anything else. I don't know what happened. You'll have to tell me off the air because I don't want to spoil it for people who haven't seen it.
No, but it was a good season finale.
All right.
I'll tell you that much.
Right.
I'll tell you that much. But we are truly everywhere. I just read this on, like, I read the Japan Times almost every day. Because it's written in English and I like that. And they have some stories in Japanese, but my kanji are still not that good. I can pick out, like, running, eating. I can't really put it all together.
Yes. I have no clue what you're talking about, but...
But on the Japan Times when I'm reading the Japanese characters. But anyway, I was reading a story in English, and apparently... Now, listen up, all you entrepreneurs out there with some coin to spend. There is a 6.6 trillion yen dollar gay and lesbian market.
It's crazy.
In Japan. And, you know, they've got about...
Those gays are going to take over the world.
Their numbers are 2.74 million people who are either lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender... And in terms of, like, targeting a niche market, 6.6 trillion yen is $55 billion. Okay?
That's crazy.
Why do you think I'm studying Japanese?
Oh.
But it's just so interesting.
And you're gay.
Truly. It's so interesting, though, because there were some companies, you know, Lehman Brothers. I don't know if you're familiar with the financial industry. Lehman Brothers is a huge banking corporation. And they've actually been actively recruiting from the gay and lesbian segment pool of sort of job resources out there. And they're one of the few corporates to do it because in Japanese society right now, it's kind of difficult to go out and specifically target. You know how people go to campuses and go recruiting for students?
Right.
Well, Lehman is actually recruiting specifically for gay and lesbian employees.
Look at that.
So I think it's just a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful reflection of the company, number one, even though they're one of our competitors at UBS. But it's just a beautiful reflection of what they're doing, especially in such a culture like that. So that struck me as a very fascinating story.
But, you know, I mean, Japan is where all this new energy, it doesn't surprise me. I'm wondering, you would know, like, how are people in Japan more free to come out?
I would say they're not more free or less free to come out, but it's definitely not in the media the way it is.
But they don't have the religious stigma that we seem to have in the United States.
Don't.
And so there's that I would think
they absolutely don't.
Easier.
But I liken it more to the Latin American countries, because in Spain and in maybe Puerto Rico, the homosexuals are a part of the culture.
Right.
And they're
Brazil.
On TV. And they're acknowledged, but they're not the same as regular people.
Right.
So there's still this outcast part to it. And in Japan, you know, sex is very taboo to talk about generally.
Right.
Like that. That's just starting to change in the public. But that's the closest parallel. It's more European. It's more, you know what, it's there and whatever. We just don't talk about it a lot.
Right.
So it's an interesting state of affairs, but it is changing every day. I mean, Japan still has problems with sort of women having equal rights. So they got to get over that.
I just think of
bullshit.
It as like this very hip, new, forward-moving, forward-thinking place. But you're right in terms
in
of the
technology,
social,
yeah, but in
the, kind
right.
of the social aspects, you know.
Well, they have the largest aging population as well. So that changes the dynamic of how a society is going to move and how a society is going to react to this. Because if you have all these aging people, which are the traditionalists, versus
right.
all this new blood, which is trying to be invigorating and enlivening. But where are all the kids going? They're coming here for school or they're going to Europe for school. So it's definitely changing the cultural traditions and heritage of what's going on there. But it was just interesting that there's $55 billion worth of gay spending out there.
Isn't that insane?
Honey, if you want to go buy something, go for it. Or you want to go sell some, go sell
we
it.
We could have
there.
A Japanese moment on our Queercast and see if we can get a sponsor
Hi, konnichiwa, Japanese moment desu. Yeah,
see,
right there.
I think it'd be hilarious. People who didn't even understand would just think it was funny to listen to you do that. And I could get us money for that.
Okay.
Let's work on that.
Hi.
I'll work on that.
Wakarimashita.
Hey, you know what? Speaking of kind of heritage and legacy, our guest tonight is somebody who has really, it's kind of a slice of life, like kind of a human story of just like who makes up our community. And mm-hmm. Dennis Watkins is somebody so fascinating. Because he was raised in Texas by a very wonderful grandfather who happened to be an amazing magician and passed on to his grandson, Dennis, this love of magic. And I think it's really interesting. I've never really talked to a magician, I don't think, and let alone a gay magician. So this is exciting. And
something Amy hasn't done yet.
Something I haven't done. And I'm just, you know, and I'm kind of fascinated by magic because I...
Really? Did you ever dabble in it? Did you ever
No. But I love it when it comes on television. Like I don't know that somebody's going to freeze themselves. I mean, that's considered magic now. That's the whole Houdini kind of magic.
Well, yeah,
but even just like, I can't ever figure out how anybody does anything where magic's
concerned.
That's
good though. You're not supposed to. You're just supposed to keep thinking about it.
It's really fun. So Dennis is going to be on the show and I get to talk about some magic with him. And
and Dennis is actually in a fantastic production, a very difficult production by all accounts, called Orange Lemon Egg Canary. Uma Productions is doing it in Chicago.
Here in Chicago, yeah.
So it's part theater, part magic. There's
lesbians.
Some lesbians.
Oh, it's all good.
So, you know.
Magic and lesbians sounds like Barry White's playing somewhere in the background. Let me tell you.
We got to get it together, baby.
Yeah, take off.
Never
going to
give
no
it up.
Pink
right.
panties. But you know what I have to say? Oh, speaking of lesbians, and I'm not going to be on the show much with you next week.
A little bit.
Just a little bit here and there because I'm getting ready to open my show. But folks, I guess I should just say gals. I am so into BBC America's series, Bad Girls. I cannot even tell you. I am so in love with Helen Stewart. And if you don't know who I'm talking about, oh my Lord, Simone Labib. My girlfriend My girlfriend was like, you literally are thinking Simone Labib, aren't you? Like when I was like, I like Simone Labib.
Oh my goodness.
She plays the character of Helen Stewart.
She sounds Irish.
She's Scottish. Helen Stewart. And she, Nikki Wade and Helen Stewart, just like women behind bars and trying to have some loving going on. It's very exciting. It's very fun. Plus, I just love watching all the other badass women on the show that don't happen to be gay or might be gay or whatever. So if you're not watching this on Logo or on BBC, you're missing out, folks. That's all I got to say. It's really good. My girlfriend didn't want to watch it either. Sometimes I do this like where I'm into something and she just wants to flat out reject it just because it's my thing. And she's out of town this week. And last week we were just kind of hanging out, having a couple of nights just at home, just to have some kind of calm nights at home before I get crazy
before
with the
storm.
Yeah, with rehearsal. And she was out of town. And I said, you know, I saved my TiVo, like all these bad girls. Do you want to watch some of them? She's like, all right, I'll watch one. And so we watched one and then she went, okay, well, we can watch another one. We watched four in a row.
All right.
So
how
I'm
long
like,
are they an hour or 44
yeah, they're
minutes?
They're hour, but they're 40, you know, they're 44,
right.
45 minutes. So
you go.
Yeah, we had a little dinner, watched a little Bad Girls.
3 hours of Bad Girls.
Some good times with bad girls. That's all I got to say.
Dirty. I don't want to know what you did after.
I don't know. I've got to find some reason. The show like was made in Britain like years ago. And so we're just getting it in the States, but I got to find some fucked up reason to get Simone Labib on the radio show. I just got to find an angle.
Paging Simone Labib.
Simone Labib. I have nothing to talk to you about, but remember 5 years ago when you played a lesbian.
Please pick up the white courtesy phone, Simone.
I don't know why
it's
I like her.
Terrible.
I just do.
That's okay. Well, if you can get Simone Labib, then I want Anderson Cooper.
We're working on it.
Okay.
He'll be on Out Magazine. Well, that's a good
Isn't that
reason.
Crazy.
That's nuts. That was in our news story earlier this week.
Live.
And I'll get Jodie Foster.
Da Coop.
And her girlfriend.
You can, maybe
Sydney
her girlfriend
Bernard,
can do.
Bernard, who's got to be speak French Sydney. Or something. I don't know.
Bernard. She could be a Quebecer.
She could be. They met somewhere. Where they met on the set of Summersby. So I don't know. She came to Virginia from somewhere.
So British-ish.
When she was on there with Richard Gere, she was hooking up with a woman.
Oh, when he was cute.
Oh, he's still cute. I think he's cute. Kind of looks like a penis, but he's
I
cute.
Lost him after Chicago. I just lost it for him after Chicago.
Oh.
Don't sing Richard Gere. Just stand there and look pretty.
Okay.
Just make a proposal on a decent one.
I don't think he cares if he's pretty. I like his politics. I like his heart. He seems like he's got a good heart. Good little Buddhist guy.
Yeah, I need a little bit more, though.
We hope the Olympics come to Chicago. Right. Peter's looking for a little bit more.
I will welcome the world.
Taste and flavor. Truly. But stay with us. We've got a really fun interview for you tonight. All the magic. We got magic for you.
Magic. I'll have to find out. Put some magic music in this show.
Yeah,
in
there's
this
a couple program. Of magic. You have you to can believe do anything that you're doing. We are magic.
Ooh.
Nothing can stand in our way.
I don't know why that makes me think of Islands in the Stream. I don't know why. Strange. Yep. Strange.
Pippin, the musical Pippin.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
magic
yes.
to do.
Magic to do.
So if you heard any of those songs,
Flash and Bobs, Flash and Puce, Kuvul and King, Gulen, Goose, Green and Blank.
Excellent. Hey, enjoy our show.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius. Today we salute you, Mr. Professional Figure Skater.
Mr. Professional Figure Skater.
While lesser men strapped on skates and played hockey, you donned skin-tight leotards and a teeny cowboy hat and learned figure eights.
Going round and round.
You practiced and practiced, hoping, knowing, someday you'd be good enough to wear a giant puppet costume and skate in an ice show.
Welcome to the big time.
Skate perfectly and you're a crowd pleaser. Mess up and fall on your butt and you're still a crowd pleaser.
Oh!
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, oh Titan of the Tights. You may never wear a medal, but sequins are shiny too.
Mr. Professional Figure Skater.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Find out what happened before Dorothy dropped in at Wicked, Chicago's newest smash hit musical, and the untold story of the Witches of Oz.
Popular, I know about popular.
Popular, USA Today calls Wicked a triumph. And Time Magazine writes, if every musical had the brain, the heart, and the courage of Wicked, Broadway really would be a magical place. Now, this Grammy Award-winning blockbuster has cast its spell over Chicago. Wicked, at the Ford Center for the Performing Arts Oriental Theater.
And nobody in all of Oz, no wizard that there is or was, is ever gonna bring me.
Call 312-902-1400 or visit BroadwayInChicago.com today. Because the longer you wait, the longer you'll wait to see Wicked.
It's time to dust off that tux and ball gown and throw on your dancing shoes, because the annual HRC Chicago Gala is right around the corner. Join us June 16th at the Hilton Chicago on South Michigan Avenue for HRC's Tickled Pink Gala, celebrating Chicago's GLBT community with dinner, dancing, a silent auction, and many more surprises. This year's keynote speaker is Academy Award-winning actress and newest star of The L Word, Marlee Matlin. For more, visit Tickled Pink. 2007.com, and tickets are on sale now at boxofficetickets.com. Just search for HRC Chicago to get your tickets today.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club.
Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of April 16th, 2007, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Night Blue Theater presents the musical La Caja Fall, a boisterous and uplifting celebration of love and family featuring book by Harvey Fierstein and score by Jerry Herman. Live on stage April 20th through 29th. For tickets to La Caja Fall, call 630-257-3077. That number, 630-257-3077.
Glitterati Productions presents the Chicago premiere of Ken Ludwig's hysterical backstage farce, Moon Over Buffalo. The funniest show, says columnist Liz Smith. Superbly acted and glamorously costumed, this fast-paced comedy leaves the audience breathless from laughter. Playing now at the Theater Building Chicago, 1225 West Belmont. See Moon Over Buffalo. You'll laugh your moon off. Visit theaterbuildingchicago.org.
Now at Writers Theater, the Puppet Master of Lodz. After escaping from Auschwitz, a once-revered puppet master has barricaded himself in an attic. In an attempt to bring back his lost family, he prepares for his greatest puppet show ever. Hopeful, moving, and eminently theatrical, this beautiful beautiful story is a must-see. For more about The Puppet Master of Lodz, log on to writerstheater.org or call 847-242-6000.
Pulp is back and better than ever. About Face Theater's deliciously campy homage to the sultry world of lesbian pulp fiction is coming home to Chicago May 2nd through the 20th, 3 weeks only. Join playwright Patricia Kane and the original cast for the return of the hit comedy that the Tribune called funny, smart, and eminently entertaining, and the LA Times hailed as a comic bullseye. It's only here 3 weeks, so visit aboutfacetheater.com and get your tickets to see Pulp today.
Internationally acclaimed Hubbard Street Dance Chicago hosts Celebrity Cast Party for the gay community this Sunday, April 22nd. Enjoy the closing matinee at the Harris Theater, followed by cocktails, food, partying, and dancing with the Hubbard Street Dancers, all at the Fairmont Chicago. For tickets and details, visit hubbardstreetdance.com or call 866-535-HSDC.
Travel to the interior of Liberia with Looking Glass Theater Company's explosive world premiere, Black Diamond, The Years the Locusts Have Eaten, playing now at Looking Glass Theater, located in the Water Tower Waterworks. For tickets to Black Diamond, call 312-337-0665 or visit lookingglasstheater.org.
And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Jerry Potter goes international with his Latin music picks this week. How Kinky Are You? Kinky, a pop electronic group from Mexico, was recently in Chicago at a Chivas tasting. I've seen them 3 times in concert and they are so cute and creative. Go to kinkymusic.com and discover a group you have not heard of. In concert, I just saw La India in concert at Circuit Nightclub. She kissed me after the show, and this will not mean a lot to you unless you like salsa music, but for me, it was a big deal. I'll be at the Ricky Martin Show on April 25th at the Allstate Arena. Go to Ticketmaster.com to order your tickets today. And speaking of music in Espanol and crossing over is Beyonce and releasing B-Day again with new Spanish tracks. She's made a video for every track on this release, and people are already talking about the hot video with her and Shakira dressed alike for Beautiful Liar. Adios from Jerry Potter on Windy City Queercast.
And this is your Windy City Queer Guest News.
In Florida, the Sixth Circuit Court has turned back an attempt by a man to stop paying alimony because his ex-wife is now male. Lawrence Roach tried to appeal paying alimony because his former wife, Julia Roach, is now Julio Silverwolf. The court, I don't know if she's German, I just like that. The court ordered the payments to continue. However, Silverwolf would not be recognized as a man under state law.
In Everett, Washington, now stay with me here, the supposed 17-year-old boyfriend of a 14-year-old girl has turned out to be a 30-year-old woman.
What?
Authorities say that Lorelai Corpas posed as a teenaged orphan to gain the girl's family trust. Then, Corpas allegedly assaulted the teen. The victim said she never viewed Corpas's private parts and thought she was a male.
God, she shaved off a number of years, 13 years too. It's a cut to the quick as New York City health advocates consider a push for men who are at high risk for AIDS to get circumcised. The city's Department of Health and Mental Hygiene is questioning agencies and is even considering making the procedure free to those who do not have health insurance.
New Hampshire could become the fourth state to recognize civil unions. By a vote of 243 to 129, the state house passed a measure that would give same-sex couples the same rights as opposite-sex married couples. The measure will now move on to the state Senate.
In Wyoming, lesbian couple Lynn Huskinson and Leah Vader have been denied communion by their parish church for speaking out against an anti-same-sex bill. The couple, who got married in Canada last year, sent a letter criticizing the measure to their state lawmaker. They were then interviewed on Ash Wednesday and were photographed with the ash on their foreheads. Reverend Cliff Jacobson, the couple's parish priest, said, quote, "The sin is one thing. It's a very different thing to go public with that sin."
More details are uncovered in Anna Nicole Smith's death. Dr. Christine Erosevich prescribed all of the 11 prescription medications found in Smith's hotel room on the day of her death. Over 600 pills were missing for prescriptions written in the month before Smith's untimely demise. The autopsy report stated that Smith suffered from an accidental overdose.
Accidental? How do you accidentally swallow 600 extra pills? Halle Berry is going bald. According to CNN.com, the Oscar-winning 40-year-old beauty is shaving her head for her role in Napoli Ever After, a romantic comedy. Wow, that word is getting a lot of play right now.
So it is.
Berry will play a woman whose hair is falling out, so she decides to get rid of all of it.
Black Eyed Peas singer Fergie, who portrays a lesbian in the new movie Grindhouse, has said that when she was younger, she engaged in lesbian relationships as acts of rebellion against her parents.
Ooh, sexy.
She was on Kids Incorporated and, you know, all that good stuff. Okay. Fergie also said that she became involved in drugs, which eventually led her to become a crystal meth addict.
Wow. Lesbianism and crystal meth addicts. It's kind of
She's a gay man.
She's a gay man. Whitney Houston was granted custody of Bobby Christina, her teenage daughter with Bobby Brown. Houston, whose 14-year-old marriage to Brown ends this month, cried when the judge, Franz Miller, made his ruling.
I get so emotional. I'm sorry.
Every time I think of crazy Bobby Christina, who's so fucked up from her husband, her father and her
baby
mother.
Daddy.
Baby daddy. And that's your Windy City Queercast news.
This is Katie Curtis, and you're listening to Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago and Wicked, the most popular musical in Chicago history. For tickets, visit wickedthemusical.com/Chicago. It's always really interesting, the big question of does art imitate life or life imitate art? And it's really neat when we get to meet people on our Queercast. It's kind of a slice of life, like see who is a part of our community. Mm-hmm. And Dennis Watkins is right now involved with a show with Uma Productions here in Chicago, Orange Lemon Egg Canary. But the fascinating thing is that he plays this character great in the play who happens to be a magician. And Dennis is actually a magician, a professional magician and clown by trade. So it's just really interesting. I don't think I've ever had a gay magician on the show. Yay. I've asked David Copperfield so many times, but he's having his hair done. Hey, Dennis Watkins, how are you doing?
Hey, Dennis.
I'm doing great. How are you?
Great. We appreciate you stepping out of rehearsal, take some time to talk with us.
Sure thing.
So let's talk about how you grew up in a family of magicians. Now that's just so.
And those must have been the best birthday parties ever growing
up. That is like an HBO miniseries that has yet to be made that Peter and I would like to do, especially if there's a lot of homosexuality.
Like Carnival, just magician.
Yeah, magician. So what was your childhood like?
I would say I grew up in a small town in Texas, and I would say that it felt to me like a very normal childhood. And my grandfather was, of course, the main magician in the family. And he and his wife were magicians, and my uncle was a magician. And so I just grew up doing it. I started performing at a really young age, probably. I was the only one of my grandfather's grandkids who took to it. Hmm. It sort of skipped my dad. And I just started doing it when I was really young, and it was something that had been with me my whole life. So it always felt very, very normal to me. You're right. We had great birthday parties. Very, very fun. But it sort of led from being an interest in magic to being an interest in other kinds of performing to an interest in theater. And it just sort of grew into this thing that now I do all the time, which is totally fun. But as far as the childhood goes, It felt totally normal. We did strange and weird magic tricks all the time, but other than that, it was absolutely status quo.
All your friends wanted to come over to your house, I bet.
So what kind of magic are we talking about? I mean, today we see people who, what is that guy's name? Blaine, who submerges himself in water, and yet he also, for a week or whatever in Times Square, but then he also does things like all these card tricks and, what kind of magic are we talking about? Is this like cutting women in half or what kind of magic was kind of the magic of your grandfather, the magic that was passed on to you, and what do you feel like is the style of magic that you practice today?
My grandfather certainly did a great deal more of what is called close-up magic, which is magic with cards or balls or money or small things that happen right in front of your face. He ran a magic store called Douglas Magic Land in Dallas for several years and worked and developed his trade behind the counter there, showing magicians and laymen different magic tricks all day long. And so mostly what he did was definitely that kind of close-up magic, which is what I jumped into very early and started doing most of. And then, of course, because I was an ambitious young boy, my taste grew into the stage magic, and I developed a taste for doing things that were a little bit bigger and developed a a big bird act with a whole bunch of doves and crazy cards and things popping out of the air that was meant for the stage. And then decided that I wanted to try doing illusion work and started snatching up all the bigger stage illusions that I could get. And my grandfather, of course, told me I was crazy for doing that because not only did you were you not able to fit it in the car, no one was going to book you to ever do it. And it was only, you know, it was sort of in high school and then when I moved into college and, of course, learned that my grandfather was right and I couldn't carry those big illusions and birds around all over the place. But I started going back to the close-up magic and started doing a whole lot more close-up. These days, I do sort of a good mix of all of it. I work for the House Theater of Chicago quite a bit.
I know that, and I understand since most of the founding members are Texans, right? Is that correct?
It's true. Yes. Well, I'm not native Texans, but a lot of us went to school at SMU together.
Yeah, yeah.
In Dallas. But through them, I started doing a lot of magic from sort of a design point, where I started putting a lot of magic into plays and trying to implement it into narrative and actually use magic as a storytelling tool.
Mm.
And because that was for plays with you know, an audience of 150 or so, the magic got a little bit bigger, so I found myself sort of coming back around to the bigger scale magic again. And, you know, while the audience is 150, the houses have also been very intimate, so it's been a nice mix of me for, like, close-up and stand-up parlor magic to the big illusions and stuff like that, which is great because the Orange Lemonade Canary sort of feels like it runs that gamut as well. There's card tricks in it. There are tricks with little props. The props get a little bigger as the show goes on. And then there's a big trick where a woman is impaled on a spike in the middle of the stage.
Wow.
Ooh.
Sort of, we get the best of all worlds in magic in this show, I think. The big stuff, the little stuff, the really intimate stuff, and the stuff that has that nice element of danger to it.
Now, did you even have to audition for this? Since it sounds like, I mean, the story is so close to your own story. I mean, in terms of being having a legacy of magic in the family, the magician. I mean, I guess the only thing that would be different was you'd need a different kind of leading man, right?
As
a leading lady.
Leading lady.
Why don't you tell everybody the story of Orange Lemon Egg Canary?
The story of the play?
Yeah, just a little bit what it's about.
Sure. Generally, it's a story of this magician and his relationships with these two women. I firmly believe the play to be a love story, which I don't think we really fully understand until the end. But Great is a magician. He's very much running away from a relationship that he had that went terribly awry with one of his former assistants when they were together and performing together. Her name is China. And he has left that relationship. It ended horribly, partially because of this big magic trick with the spike. Of course it ends bad. You put a girl on a spike, what do you expect? That ends bad, and he tries to move on, and he very quickly at the beginning of the play encounters this woman, Trilby, who he very quickly falls for. Later in the play, he realizes that she is in cahoots with China, and they are lovers, and they are trying to find out the secrets to his magic, particularly the hypnotic balance trick, so the spike trick.
Mm.
And so she has set Trilby out to discover the secrets to these things so that they can steal it and use it.
So magic and lesbians.
The ending of the play.
Magic and lesbians. That's what I love about this play.
Right?
Amy just perked up all of a sudden. Ooh.
No, I knew there were lesbians in the play. But I want to talk to the big gay magician instead. So now Uma Productions, is this your first time working with them?
It is my first time working with Uma.
They're a really fantastic company. Mm. I actually really enjoy their work. So I think this will be definitely with your involvement. And I know this play has been produced before, and I often wonder how they handle many of the magic elements, because I doubt that many times they get somebody with your skill set.
And I think you'd be in tech from day one. I mean, you wouldn't.
It feels like we have been, actually. I think this is a hard play to do. I think it's hard to find the the right team of people with the right company, with the right amount of resources to really tackle it. It's a difficult show. I think it's difficult for the actors. I think it's difficult for the magic.
Yeah.
And then, you know, a company like Uma, who is absolutely great and very ambitious, jumps on it, and suddenly you're doing these crazy magic tricks with people balancing on spikes and a three-quarter thrust, and the trick was, you know, very clearly engineered from the beginning to be in a proscenium. So it throws a whole world of challenges at it.
So how are you, because I know that you're doing, I mean, you're designing all of these mm-hmm. magic things for the show, magic tricks. So how hard, or is everyone pretty teachable with where magic's concerned, or what does it take for somebody to be a good magician and to make the magic come off to an audience?
That is a great question. I think it takes just a smart actor. I think if you can find a smart actor that is also really physically oriented, that works from a physical place, then it helps immensely. You know, we end up talking a lot about where your body's pointed and when and how and where you're sending your energy. And actors who work from a really physical place all the time, or dancers, tend to be really good at catching on to the magic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they also tend to be people who are inclined to drill things and to work things and yeah. practice things until they're totally refined. And so that is one of the things that makes it work. Actors, I think, are great at picking up magic. An old French magician many years ago, Robert Houdin, used to say, "Oh, I'm not a magician. I'm an actor playing the part of a magician." and I really feel like that's key to being a good magician. Hmm. So if you can find a good actor who wants to learn to do it, then that's the right place to start.
So are you also swearing them all to secrecy about, like, the behind the, how it actually gets done? Like, shh, you can't tell anybody.
Absolutely.
And that's the big thing. I mean, are you able, I bet you're great, like, at walk into a gay bar and just start, like, doing it. I bet you can, like, get a posse of guys around you so fast. Because I think, you know, when you see people who can do that kind of stuff, I think it's, well, people are so drawn to it. Yeah. We're so drawn to magic, you know. It's a reason why they're at kids, you know, birthday parties. And still, you know, today, I think if we saw somebody doing something we couldn't explain or conceive yeah. of how they do.
Do it again.
Exactly. I have to tell you, yeah. I have to ask you, Dennis. I mean, you know, I'm an Oprah watcher and we talk about it on this show a lot.
Go.
But she had these people, where were they from? Russia or something, who did this magic dress thing. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, the quick change people?
The quick change people. And I TiVo'd it because I'm also a TiVo person. You need to listen to our podcast if you don't know all this. Uh-huh. Everybody else listening is bored already. but I TiVo'd Oprah. And so she said, I have no clue what's going to happen, but they're supposed to be phenomenal. And here they are. She didn't even know that they were magic or dancers or whatever. And these two people came on. I'm telling this so Peter knows. And they're like dancing around, a guy and a girl, almost like ballroom dancing. Uh-huh. And literally, through hoops and through walking past like a shoji screen and stuff like this woman changed costumes like 15-18 times.
Fabulous.
And it was
those
little
people are amazing.
I'm like, how do they can't be doing that with an angle? They can't be doing that. Like, how the frick are they doing that?
Yeah, and don't tell. Don't tell her.
No, he has a huge patent on.
Know.
No, but my question would be to you, if you were watching on, what is it? It's like on A&E where the David Blaine street walking, or if you, any of the stuff that you see, if you saw a magician, would you know more or less how they were doing what they were doing? I mean, how hard is it to hide your trick from another magician?
I think it's a pretty hard thing. I would say generally watching, I can have a pretty good idea of how things are working, but I grew up with it. I've been watching it and learning it since I was a little kid.
Yeah.
And that certainly helps. And there are a lot of principles that are the same for whether you're doing a card trick or a big illusion. And once you sort of have a good handle on those things, it's kind of fun to spot. Now, that being said, I love it when I see a magician and have no idea how they do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I enjoy it immensely.
Mm. Yeah. So you're saying that it's the same thing for an actor too.
Well,
I mean, I think if you watch an actor on stage, mm. and you're like, God, I just can't imagine how they got there or did that. It's also impressive if you're not looking at it from like, oh, okay, I see blah, you know, dot, 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 whatever the end of it is. I mean, it's just seeing somebody good at their skill, you know?
Yeah, it's such a joyous thing to see.
Well, we hope that everybody will go out and see you do your magic and follow your career. I'm sure you'll be back with those house kids. I call them the house kids. Does everybody call y'all the house kids now? Because you all have been heating it up as well, that company. But right now, you are taking time away and working with Uma Productions on their show Orange Lemon Egg Canary. It's a complicated title.
Mm-hmm.
Peter was Googling, and he was like, do you know how many bands there are with orange and lemon? And it's very funny. Orange Lemon Egg Canary is playing at the Chopin Theater, 1543 West Division. It's starting April 18th and runs through May 19th. And if you'd like tickets, you can get them by calling Uma at 773-347-1375. Or, you know, we're an internet age, folks. Just go to their website. Easy, easy. Uma Productions, like Thurman, umaproductions.org. Or you can go to Hot Ticks and get those day of tickets, which is always good, too, if there are seats available. So, Dennis, we break legs, or magically break legs.
Right.
Break a prop.
And we hope to come down and see you and see the lesbians, too.
Please do. They're great.
Excellent. Dennis Watkins, it's been great having you on the show.
Thank you. It's been great.
And thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This show is brought to you in part by Bud Light. Bud Light, always worth it.
And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
And Broadway in Chicago, for the hottest tickets in town, visit broadwayinchicago.com.
So that's our show. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Peter Maverick. Please comment on our shows on our website and in iTunes.
The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it.
Windy City Queercast, queer and now. Brand new kind of sweet.
The best and the brightest, served up daily by the sharpest minds in content delivery, Podshow and Limelight.